Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And it is good to be here yet again, listening to the same introduction that we do every time.
Episode 391.
There you go.
Yeah,
it's only eight left. Well, yeah, we're going to bring me what? Are we going to do another joint one for 400?
Yes, we are. We are.
Dude, that
Todd,
would be awesome.
Ed and I, yeah.
Where are we going to do it?
We'll do it on the waves of the different. I don't know how you.
No, we should get together geographically. You guys should
geographically.
Fly up to Chicago.
Or yeah. You can come to Nashville because there's one
Nashville,
of you and two of us.
Nashville, Smashville. That's true. Okay, that's fair enough. So,
Kingdom Resources, right. Man. Kingdom Resources.
There you go. I love that. Yeah. I love that. Well played. Well played.
All right. So today's question is from Byron, who has, and here's the thing. He literally just sat down and sent in, I think, eight questions, one after the other.
Wow.
So we've been spacing them out as much as we can because we don't want this to be the Byron show. but his questions have been super helpful. And it's neat to track along and see how they've been growing and reaching the lost through their church. So if you haven't yet left a question, go to speakpipe.com/newchurches. You can leave as many as you want. Or if you're on your computer, you can go to newchurches.com and just hit the sidebar on the right and hit send a voicemail. Well, here's the question from Byron.
Hey guys, Byron here from Texas. And I have a question about what are the temptations that come along with having your very first permanent location? Our church plant is 3 years old. We've been meeting in a bar through this whole time, but we just secured our very first permanent location and we're really excited about it. It's an old warehouse in downtown. But my question for you is, what are some of the pitfalls or the temptations that come along with a church plant getting a permanent location? What are some of the things that we need to protect or guard against when it comes to having our own building? I look forward to listening and learning along with the rest of our team. Thank you guys for all that you do at newchurches.com. We greatly appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Well, I'd say the first pitfall or the temptation is to give your volunteers a break, especially the setup crew.
What are you going to make them? That's a temptation? You're like going to say no straw for the bricks?
No, to give them a break, being like, oh, you're good. We don't need a setup crew anymore. You just help set up the location once and you're good to go. I think that's a natural place to think, or even for the setup crew to think that, the setup and teardown crew. And, you know, I think you definitely have to celebrate them. And I think you got to celebrate them in a public way, but also in a separate way as well, just to show how appreciative that you've been. But then in that same moment, I would encourage you to cast a vision for what's next, right? Because they're in that rhythm of ongoing, regularly serving. So cast a vision for what other ways they can serve and be involved in the plant.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think there is a sense that it's the temptation is to become the establishment and to lose the mission.
Yeah.
You know, to move from the go and tell to the come and see. Mm. So again, and that's so central to the idea of the missional church. And so I would be concerned. And again, I've seen this. You know, I've moved some churches into buildings. I don't know if you knew this, but the church we planted in Nashville just got a building.
I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, very cool building too. It's like this wedding venue and it's very cool. So I wasn't there then, but I got to tell you, the time I served there, we were setting up and tearing down, and it was tiring. And to be fair, I don't want to imply that I was there every week by any stretch of the imagination, but I did have some bloodshed in carrying in one stage. We all have a little bit of blood left behind. And so, but I do think it's how do you then pivot? I wouldn't think of it as an arrival, now come and see. So how do I pivot? How do I help a congregation that now has an established location continuing to have a missional outward focus? So I think even as I would start, because I mean, typically typically, it's hard to say typically. I don't have research that bases the base this, but I tell people that your attendance will bump 25% typically 6 months after your move into a new building. Now, I don't know why I think that. It's just been my observation.
Me too. I've seen that over and over again too.
Yeah. Is 25% about what you're thinking or what?
Well, to give you an example, so Ed, you and for our listeners, you were an interim pastor at the church I'm a teaching pastor at.
Yes, right.
Years ago in Nashville. And so, for example, just to give you real numbers, I don't know if it was 25% or not, but well, actually, it was way more than this. So our one campus meeting in a school for multiple years, by the time we left the school, bought a warehouse and moved in, we were averaging around 90 adults a Sunday, right? 90 in the worship service. Today, it's been 2 years-ish, a little bit over 2 years since we've moved into the new location. We're above 300 adults now.
Yeah. And it's, right. So it's distinctive. Yeah. And there are factors that can, you know, impact that. I mean, if you're running 40 people because you don't know what you're doing and it's not going well, you know, getting into buildings not gonna
it's not a silver
make
bullet.
It better. Yeah. You know, so no, though there are 5 silver bullets, it's not one of those 5 silver bullets. But I do think that the danger here is that one of the things that's happened is setup kind of gives you a place for lots of people to serve, but I have to say this very carefully, but it's also a place for people who maybe wouldn't fit in other places can serve. And that may be their only place to serve, you know, so how do you get them engaged and involved? You know, I would still look at things to do. What are ways that people who don't feel comfortable doing maybe blank, blank on blank, but do feel comfortable carrying in things and moving them around? What are some things we can do? And I would say, for those of you volunteering this, let's you know, be involved in a ministry to widows in the community. Maybe, you know, on Saturday we'll go redo a house or something of that effect.
That's a really interesting point. Where would they serve next? Because you're right. Typically, the people who are doing setup and teardown are
Be careful. Because we love them. We love them. I don't want to get letters from anybody.
So, no. Yeah. Not at all. But typically, they're not the ones who are volunteering for the greater ministry.
Yeah. True.
Right. So, in your experience, and I'm just trying to run through my head, where did those people serve in the first church plant I was ever a part of? The same people who set up and tore down in that school gymnasium. They're the same. They were the elders, and they were the ones doing the kids ministry. And I mean, everyone was just doing everything. I think the church plant was like less than 100 people, but we were all just doing everything. And it just felt like a family. We didn't really, it wasn't a large church plant in any means. But I'm just trying to figure out where would I encourage them to serve? Security, actually. I'm thinking about the ones at my church.
I could think so. For me, I was more outward. You know, I just saw a similarity between people. You know, we did some stuff on Saturdays where we went out and specifically had a list of like widows that we would do some work on their home and some of those guys. So that's actually an actual example. But I just think don't let them go from something that was really maybe meaningful in a place where like, hey, I'm making a difference. Because we ended up with, I mean, there's always people who didn't like it. And, you know, it was a rotation. But for some of the, it was mostly men. If you have a dog barking in the background during the middle of our podcast.
Yeah, it's my dog. Wow. I think someone's at the front door.
we want to go get your door. I'll continue talking. But I think that we really eventually had a group of people that this was a meaningful thing to them. Now, again, for most people, they complained about it. And I get it. I would be one of the complainers about it. But there was also a meaningful ministry for a significant number of people in the church and probably the only place they're involved. Anyway, we focused a lot on that. That's not the only thing. So let's take a break. Let's listen to our sponsor. And then let's continue with some other ways after that as well.
Training your volunteers and leaders is important. But do you ever feel like you don't know where to start? That's why Lifeway Leadership developed Ministry Grid. With Ministry Grid's library of over 3,000 training videos, the work has been done for you and you'll be able to train everyone in your church. And this is training you can trust. Each Ministry Grid video features an experienced ministry leader who has been where you are now. You can even customize the training by adding videos, PDFs, YouTube videos, and more. And now, Ministry Grid has one plan with one price that gives you unlimited access to train your entire church. Just go to ministrygrid.com to learn more. Once again, that's ministrygrid.com. Now back to the podcast. All right, so Byron's question was the pitfalls, the temptations, what to protect, what to guard against.
Yeah.
You know, Ed, your previous question about I mean, my church just, I mean, I'm thinking two churches ago, the setup and teardown that we did at a movie theater. I served as a campus pastor for a little bit there, just in the interim. And when I was there Sunday mornings and helping out and just really trying to rally and encourage the volunteers after setup, typically the worship team took over and they did their rehearsal. So the setup and teardown team, we always went over to Tim Hortons, which was just for, you know, it's kind of the Canadian.
I think you have to explain explain what Tim Hortons is.
It's like the Canadian Dunkin' Donuts, but way better.
It's the Canadian national treasure.
Yeah, we went over there.
Which now owns Burger King, as I think you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So we went over there and we had great community. And it was it was 40 minutes of discussion, connecting, catching up. But that was pretty much like a small group for a lot of them. So at a bare minimum, I would try to maybe even form a small group out of the setup and teardown team or make sure that there's some level of ongoing service, community, connection, just so that they don't feel like they're out there on the own without a purpose, within the larger church body.
Now, I do feel that we're spending a lot of time in the setup team, so let's talk more broadly. Immediately everybody's going to rush to their level of enthusiasm that I've got a classroom for the kids. You know, I've got,
that's true.
You know, I've got a whatever. So I would just say to, again, use as an opportunity not to say, hey, you know, we want to make sure we don't act derived. We want to still live sent. You can even steal my language.
Yes.
We don't want you to act derived. We want you to live sent. So now, as we have the opportunity for greater children's ministry and student ministry and all, how do we, to use Kevin Harney's term in organic outreach, how do we turn up the temperature a little bit in all of these areas so we can do an even better job of reaching people? Praise God for what we've done thus far, but we're not done. God's going to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we might ask or think, but we've got to not turn inward. We got to keep staying outward. The church is not the building. The church is the place. The building is the place where the church meets. We're still on mission. That kind of language, I think, could be really helpful.
Yeah, and in terms of how you communicate that, you'll definitely have to be strategic in the sense of how and when. So even when you get to the church and have that first service or even are praying about the building and you know, getting into the building, getting ready for it, watch how you communicate that. Right? Are you communicating it in a way that says we've arrived, we've made it, or are you communicating it in a way where, hey, this is our next stop, right? This is our next stop. We're continuing to move forward. So the way that, and I think there's a lot of times if you don't think about the way you put things, the way you communicate things, we default into just language that we've heard. So being intentional in terms of how you communicate it, even writing it out is going to go a long way.
Yeah. So imagine if you moved into the building.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I remember I moved. Oh gosh, I'm trying to remember it was at what's the name of that church? Skyline Wesleyan. And
isn't
they
that
asked
John
me
Maxwell?
To come. Yeah. He was the former pastor.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But they asked me to come and preach, and I forget the name of the. It was a small groups pastor asked me to come. Jim Garlow was the senior pastor. What they were doing, they were moving up the mountain. And like they had a building and they were building another building kind of up farther.
Oh, they were actually moving up the mountain?
Yeah, yeah. So they're moving up a little bit up the mountain. Yeah. So it was like, and it took them a little bit more out of the town. So what I said was, I planned my whole message on, don't move up this mountain and out of this town. And kind of talked about how you've got to continue to engage. It wasn't like a big, you know, but it was a visual picture that their new building could really lead them to a place to kind of like, okay, well, now we've got even more cool places to be. And so we kind of, yeah, so it's a good just reminder as you move into the building to retool people, use the building entry, the dedication, as an opportunity to remind people they're on mission.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Well, thanks again for listening into the podcast. And be sure to check out the Ask Me Anything podcast with JD Greer and Matt Love as well. They are a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family. And recently they've covered topics like JD's biggest preaching influences, how Christians should engage with social media.
That was probably you on that list. You were the biggest preaching
influence. Actually, I'm curious. Who are your biggest preaching influences, Ed?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I don't probably... You know, it really depends on the way I'm sort of thinking in that day. Rick Warren probably early on.
Yeah.
I'm a bit more working through books of the Bible probably now. So
okay.
Oh, so I've been influenced by more. So I'm kind of a mix of that. I listen to Tim Keller. I listen to Rick Warren. I think Andy Stanley's an amazing communicator. I listen to him. You know, and so those would be kind of a few examples, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
What about you? What about you?
No, it's interesting to think about. Haddon Robinson was when I did a year at Gordon Conwell, he was
a very
there.
Famous preaching. Yeah. I did not know you did a year at Gordon Conwell. Why am I finding this out now?
I don't know. I've been to too many seminaries, but that's another story for another day. But every week in chapel, it was amazing to hear the way he preached. Like it was,
he was an amazing, super, just handled the word of God amazingly.
Yes, and it was just incredibly eloquent. It all just flowed together. So that was very formative. I love the way that Erwin McManus tells stories. It's so neat to see the way, I mean, his storytelling ability.
It's second to none.
Yeah.
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 And so, that's for me, like for Andy Stanley, you know, Andy and I, you know, we argue a few times, but I think his way to lead up to the way he builds in an illustration to lead up to a point is, it's just second to none.
It is. Yeah. And Tim Keller. I mean, every time I listen to Tim Keller, I'm always like, I personally am edified so much, but I'm like, man, I don't think I could ever preach like that.
I like that.
But I'm personally edified.
Yeah, for sure. Me too.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening into the podcast, and we'll catch you guys next time.